Good evening, Rabosai. Tonight we're going to be talking about Matanos Le'Evyonim. We think that there's not much to know. You have to give money to poor people, and I guess you have to know how much money, but we're not going to talk about how much money tonight. That we've spoken about once in the past. I want to talk about some specific issues as far as things that we don't always think about, but they have to be dealt with. So, for example, women, are they obligated in Matanos Le'Evyonim? So you'll tell me, well, of course, women have to hear the Megillah twice on Purim. Women have to do Mishloach Manos. So of course, they have to do Matanos Le'Evyonim. Shouldn't that be obvious? So that's one question that might not be so obvious. We'll see why in a moment. Another question I'll have to figure out is, well, how does a married woman give Matanos Le'Evyonim? After all, according to Halacha, a married woman's property all belong to her husband. So it's not her money. So she can't give her husband's money away to fulfill her mitzvah of Matanos Le'Evyonim. If he's giving the money for her, well, it's him giving his own money. So what does it help if he says, I'm doing it for you, sweetheart, but he's giving his money to tzedakah, like it's somebody else's chus? That's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Evyonim. So we're going to see all these issues as they appear in the post. So that should make it worse.
No.
So you should say that
she's getting also because ishto gugufo.
So then you're saying she's not mechuyev. So then you're saying she.
No, because he's doing it.
So according to what you're saying, if it's ishto gugufo, you should only have to do one gift of mataros. One mataros
when he does it.
So a woman therefore shouldn't have her own independent chiyev. You're saying. Okay, we'll have to see. So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says.
Many times she has her own money that the husband doesn't have access to.
So let's see.
Purim never existed. Well, it didn't officially exist in a time when women would have been subject to that halacha because it was in Galus. So,
what does women's ownership of wealth have to do with?
In America, a woman owns her own money.
Dina de Malchus Adin has nothing to do about women's ownership of money. Dina de Malchus Adin means that when there's an argument between a Jew and a Gentile, then they would apply the rule of Jew and Dina de Malchus Dina. Dina de Malchus Dina doesn't apply between two Jews.
So you're telling me any woman that divorced in history that took money that was her husband's didn't do it la'alacha?
If the Bezdin didn't, yeah, let's leave that out for now. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim Tafresh Tzadi Hei, Isha Chayeves B'matanos Le'Evyonim. Umishlach manos ki'ish. Right? This is a mefurash of Gemara, presumably. Gemara says, afin hayu ba'osanei, so we know that women are, of course, obligated in all the mitzvahs of the yom, in terms of Megillah, mishlach manos, and matanos avyonim. But there's a big question. And this is a question that the Pri-Chadosh asks. Look at source number two. A pasuk in Megillah's Esther, that is the source for mishlach manos, and matanos avyonim, and you'll see a very important word that I highlighted and that I underlined. Look what it says. La sosa sum, the chachamim were mistaken that we should make the days of Purim yumei mishteh v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. So it sounds from the pasuk that it might be limited to ish l're'ehu. So says the Pri Chadosh, since the pasuk says v'mishloach manos ish, it should dafka be a chiyah for who? Only for men and not for women. That's the question of the Pri Chadosh. He asks the question on the Shulchan Aruch. Look at source number three. Ask the Pri Chadosh, how could the Shulchan Aruch say a woman is chayev in Mashloch Manos and Matanos Avyanim? After all, ein din zeh mechuver. This halacha does not appear correct. The ish ksiv, lo isha. Uminayin lezeh, how does the Shulchan Aruch know that women are obligated? Indeed, v'kasev harikash, he quotes one of the mefarshim, don't know who that is, sheshum posik lo kasev kein. I'm not sure which way. Look at the Prima Gadam's comment when he discusses, he raises this question of the Pri Chadosh. The Prima Gadam says, I am Pri Chadosh to Ishksiv, right? Why are you saying that women are obligated after the Torah says Ishksiv? So he has three answers. Number one, V'yesh lomar, v'chol ha-Torah, ish v'hu ha-din isha. When the Torah specifies ish in Tanakh, ish means man, human, humanity, homo sapien. It doesn't necessarily mean male as opposed to female. So even though it says ish l're'ehu, it doesn't mean a male man M-A-L-E, a male person to his friend. It means a human being to their friend has to give a shlach manos. That's his first answer. So the word ish doesn't really mean male, man. It means a human. Secondly, v'gam hayu ba'osaneis k'megillah. Even if you tell us that it does say the word ish, but on the other hand, we know that Chazal tell us that afin hayu ba'osaneis will obligate women in these mitzvahs equally, and therefore a woman has to do the mitzvahs because afin hayu ba'osaneis. And then look what he says. The third bullet point in source number 4. Ukshiyesh la ba'al, then reshus ba'ala aleha. What is he saying? He's saying when she's married, then her husband has, at least financially, financial domain over her. So therefore, I think what he means, a married woman, you're right, doesn't have to give. So who does have to give? What did the Shulchan Aruch mean when the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman has to give? V'almanu besula chayavin. Read that last line again, the third bullet point. The third bullet point, the Prima Gondam is suggesting that maybe if a woman is married, she doesn't have any financial personality. She doesn't have her own financial independent account. And therefore a woman who's married isn't going to be mechuyeves in matanos levyonim, a married woman. So what does the Shulchan Aruch mean when it says that women have to do mishloch matanos levyonim? It means unmarried women, either an almana or a besula who's not married, a single girl. A single girl has to give matanos levyonim, and an almana or a grusha has to give, but a married woman, she doesn't have money. So that's what the Prima Gadim comes out with. Again, either you do have to, or maybe a married woman wouldn't have to.
What about each son in a family?
We're going to talk about that later. Let's see how the Aruch HaShulchan paskins in this question of are women obligated in matanos levyonim. Welcome, doctor. The shaila is, are women obligated in matanos levyonim? The question is, when the pasuk, theoretically, women are obligated in every aspect of Purim, so they should have to give matanos levyonim to poor people also. The question is that the pasuk that tells us, mishlach manos and matanos levyonim, it says the word ish. So maybe it's only an ish. Matanos, mishlach manos, ish l're'ehu, matanos l'avyonim. Maybe the word ish says only a man. That's the question. So that we're trying to figure out, is it matanos l'avyonim only obligated on men or on women also? That's where we are.
It's not only matanos l'avyonim, it's mishlach manos also.
Yeah.
So your title is only matanos l'avyonim.
Yeah,
because
that point would be correct, right. Look at source number 5. What does the Aruch HaShulchan say? He says what we always thought. Ubemitzvah zu, this mitzvah, gam nashim chayavos. Women are also obligated. Debechol mitzvahs Purim, and all of the mitzvahs of Purim, seuda. And, right, a woman doesn't like, you know, she's on a diet, she doesn't want to have carbs. So, nevertheless, women have to wash and have hamotzi and eat meat, and so they have to drink wine. Maybe they don't have to get drunk, because it's not proper for a woman to get drunk. But the women are obligated in all the mitzvos. And to hear the Megillah twice, v'yirali, the ish v'ishto, look at this. Shnehem yotzim b'shnei matanos. Both the husband and wife team are yotzei when they give two poor people, which is the halacha, right? Everybody has to give two poor people. When two poor people receive from family X, both the husband and the wife fulfill the mitzvah. Why? To keguf echad heim. Somebody mentioned that, ishto kegufa, right? So this, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that your wife doesn't have to give mishloach matanos levyonim. If you give matanos levyonim, then ishto kegufo, that fulfills the obligation for both you and your wife, and you only need one chiyuv. I don't think people assume like this. I don't think this is a minhag. I think people usually give matanos levyonim for themselves and their wives. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong. But what about if you have a teenage son, right? I have two teenage sons right here. So let's think about it for a second. They're teenage, so they're past bar mitzvah, they're mechuyav in every mitzvah, right? Of course they're mechuyav in mitzvahs, right? But wait a second. Do they have money?
Ochel al shulchan aviv.
If they're ochel al shulchan aviv, they're so completely supported by me.
Exactly.
So therefore, maybe, yes, they have to hear Megillah. That has nothing to do with the fact that they rely on me financially. Yes, they have to eat a seuda. Maybe they even have to drink and become drunk. Not you guys, but... but when it comes to matanos, financial things, they don't have a financial, maybe I own everything that they own. I acquire everything that they own because they're financially depends on me, and therefore I should have financial control, or at least financial ownership of their wealth. So are they going to have to give matanos levyonim? Concludes Aruch HaShulchan, the end of source number five, aval b'no uvito, obviously bar mitzvah kids, hasmuch mal shulchano, chayovim litem bifnei atzman. You hear that, guys? You have to give your own matanos levyonim.
So the father is chayav to give them money separately before, so they use that.
Or they could sell candy in school, and they could use the money that they sell candy in school. They could sell candy in school and use that money to give matanos levyonim. They could use their bar mitzvah money to give matanos levyonim, but they have to give their own matanos levyonim. So paskins the Aruch HaShulchan. I could give them money if I wanted to.
Right.
But why should I let them use their money? It's their chiyuv.
Where do they have money from?
Okay. Now, the Magen Avraham, which is actually the psak that is going to be recorded in the Mishnah Berurah, has some interesting words. On the Shulchan Aruch that says that a woman is obligated, Magen Avraham says something very simple. Really? Women have to give matanos levyonim? Lo ra'isi nisharim bazeh. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen women being careful about giving matanos levyonim. I haven't seen that. Lo ra'isi nisharim bazeh, source number 6. So, says the Magen Avraham, ve'efshar maybe, de'avka be'almana, aval isha sheyesh labal, bayla meshalech b'shvila, l'kama b'nei adam. Maybe, the only time that a woman has to actually herself give to the poor person is if she's an almana, she doesn't have a husband to do it for her. But if there's a husband who could take care of his family, including his wife, the husband gives to poor people on behalf of both of them. Both of them. Ba'ala mishalech b'shvila. V'kam b'nei adam. Right, he'll give for himself to two poor people, and he'll send on his wife's behalf to two other people. So he'll give tzedakah on her behalf. That's what I guess people do. Umikom malkom yesh lahachmir. What do those last three words mean? Again, he said that, at first he says, I never really saw women giving out matanos levyonim. So maybe it means that the husband should give for his wife, on behalf of his wife. But really you should be machmir. And do what?
She should give it herself.
Is that what it means? That really, that means that it won't, that if you want to be machmir, a husband can't give for his wife. She has to actually give herself. Right, but if she doesn't have money, so how is she going to get money? That's the question that Rabbi Yashav asks in the next source.
Is it only chayav to give mishloach money?
We'll talk about that. We'll get there. We'll get there. I think we'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Poor, so
yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. So the question is, if we're going to be machmir, like this Magen Avraham concludes, and this indeed is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that a woman should be machmir, it sounds like being machmir means she should give herself. She should give herself. So how is a woman going to have money? Her husband owns all of her wealth, unless, of course, in unique circumstances, she could get money for herself. But under standard conditions, a woman doesn't have her own money. So how is she going to give mishloach manos from herself, from her own wealth? So you know what Rabbi Yashav says? Rabbi Yashav says something that I've never seen. In order for a man to give matanos levyonim for his wife, you know what he has to do? Someone has to acquire the money on her behalf. So for like this, I take money out of my wallet. I say, Rabbi, fine. I want my wife to give matanos levyonim. So please acquire this for my wife. That money is now owned by my wife. Once the money is owned by my wife, that money could be given to a poor person. And who gave it? My wife did. Because you were zocha in it for her. That's what Rabbi Yashav says.
I'm zocha for my wife.
So what we come out with, Rabbi Yashav is telling us a gigantic chumrah that I never heard of until I was preparing this shiur this week. That the only way that a woman could lichatchila, again, a woman could have her husband give for her. But the Magen Avraham said, you should be machmir, meaning she should give herself. So how does she have money to give herself? I have to give her money. How do I give her money? Well, I have to give to somebody who will acquire the money on her behalf, who will be zocha the money for her. Once the person acquires money for her, she now has money. And now that money could be given to a poor person. That sounds very cumbersome.
Why can't you mock it to her directly?
How?
Why do you have to do it to somebody else? She'll make a kenyan on it. You put it here and there.
Okay, so I go in my house. I say, sweetheart, here's $20 for you. She lifts it up. Then I take it back for her. I go to shul and I give it to the... Yeah, that will work.
She doesn't do it to somebody else.
Have you ever seen anyone do that?
No.
Neither have I.
I've never seen anybody give it to somebody else and give it to choir.
Yeah, that's an interesting book. That's what Rabbi Yashu would require. So I was speaking with Rabbi Ralbag this morning. I was at a bris, and Rabbi Ralbag Shalita from Cedar, from Woodmere, was there. I was telling him this incredible chumrah of Rabbi Yashu, that if a woman wants to properly give matbiyotzi, mataras avyonim, you have to give her money. She has to acquire money separately. And then it's her money, now she's giving her money, which is a big chumrah. I never heard of such a thing. So Rabbi Ralbag pointed out, wait a second. This could be very easily done when you give through an organization or through a gabbai tzedaka. Let's say I take money out of my pocket. I want to give for me, forget me. I want to give for my wife. I'm not going to say, could you acquire for my wife? I say to the gabbai tzedaka, here's money for me and my wife. Now, what is he doing at that point when the gabbai tzedaka, you know, 3 days before Purim, I give him money to distribute for me on my behalf. And he's going to give it to, or his organization will distribute it on Purim to the poor people. So what's happening? I say, take the money and give it for me and for my wife. What is he doing? He's acquiring that money from me. And if he's acquiring that money, he's taking it from me and my wife. So he's taking money away from me. Part he's taking from me, he's holding. And the part that I'm giving him for my wife, he's acquiring on behalf of my wife. So that could itself be the zechiah. He's taking it for my wife. That is, he's being zochah for my wife. Now he's holding whose money in his hand? Part for me and part for my wife. Because I said, please take this money for, and give matas avyon for me and my wife. So when I give it to the gabbai tzedaka, or I give it to the organization, I send it to Yad Ezra Shulamit, or Yad Eliezer, or Yosef Chai. I give it to the gabbai, and I say, this is for me and my wife. So he's just zocha in that money for my wife. And therefore, we accomplished what Rabbi Yashiv wanted. But if my wife would take out of her pocketbook on Purim day and give $20 to a poor person, according to Rabbi Yashiv, she wasn't Yotze properly. Isn't that crazy? If she gives directly, then whose money did she give? She gave my money. She's not fulfilling her mitzvah with my money. But if we give through an agent, through this, like Od Yosef Chai, or this gabbai tzedaka, then he's taking the money on for me and my wife, is acquiring, is being zocha in the money for the wife. And then when he goes ahead and gives it to the ani, he gave the money to the ani. Whose money? Part was for me and part was for my wife. And that would be a solution. That's what Rabbi Ralbag said would come out, according to Rabbi Yashiv. Good, very good point.
If mezakeh is only somebody else, you can't be mezakeh directly to her.
No, you can never take something from my... I can't be mezakeh something to my wife unless somebody outside of me acquires it.
Why not?
That's how zechiah works. Unless I could either give it to her or I could give it to you on her behalf.
Why can't I give it to her? That's why I could give it to her.
Yeah, you could do that.
Well, so you don't have to go to somebody else. You do give it your wife.
But then you have to give it to her, and then you have to. Then she now has to go find the ani, or she has to give it back to you, and you have to go to shul.
You don't have to go through a third party.
But I don't think anyone does this either. I don't think anyone does that.
No, I'm saying, but nobody gives somebody else to give to your wife.
But the way we just described, then that's what people do. What I just described. You give it to somebody's collective Od Yosef Chai, I say, here's money for me and my wife, and we solve the problem.
Right, you don't give it to a third party.
I just did.
But you give it directly to the
I gave to Mr. Od Yosef Chai, who collects Od Yosef Chai. He is the gabbai, is zocha in this money for the wife. That's what's happened. When I say, give it to me and my wife, he's holding it. No. This seems to be a chumrah of Rebbe Yashiv, and if you turn the page to source number 8, you'll see that Rav Shlomo Zalman does not subscribe to this chumrah. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, don't give me that. I mean, he doesn't say it like that, but he says, you don't have to, a woman doesn't have to be zocha, she doesn't have to own the specific dollars that you're giving for her in order for her to be yotzi her mitzvah. You know what, because you know what the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah meant when it said, quote, yesh lahachmir, that she should give herself. It shouldn't just be you giving for the family. She should give for herself. You know what it means that she should give for herself? Look what Reb Shlomo Zalman was quoted from Reb Shlomo Zalman in Orbach in source number 8 in Halichas Shlomo. Venira, Demasha Kasa Shiesh Lahachmir on top of page 2. You know what the Mishnah Berurah means when he says you should be machmir, that she should give herself? In Kavanoso, it doesn't mean Shatzricha Bedavka Lasseis Lashlach Ba'as. It doesn't mean she herself has to give herself with her own money. Vigami Tsar Shiyizkila Baila Esamos. You don't have to do zechiyah like we were just suggesting that Rabbi Yosha requires. It doesn't say lachem. Right? When it comes to owning an esrog, who has to own the esrog? You have to own the esrog. Can't be owned by somebody else. But Matanos Levion, it doesn't say that you have to own the money that's being given. The woman has to own the money that's being given. It doesn't say that. Ella, what does it mean that women should be machmir and give it themselves? Ella, second to last line, sheyachmiru sheyishlach habal gam bishvila, that the husband, when he goes to shul and he gives money to the rabbi, to the gabbai tzedaka, to the organization, he should give for himself, and he should also give, not just for himself, not just for his family, but specifically for her. I'm giving $40, 20 for me and 20 for my wife, and I should let her know about it. That's all. He should give for her. V'yodiyah hadavar l'ishto. That's all that needs to be done. You have to just specify that it's for your wife, and you have to tell her about it, but not that it actually has to be her cash, her financial ownership of that money. That's not necessary. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says, not like Reb Yashiv, and therefore we could just go back to, I think this is what normal people do. I never saw this concept of zechiyah, making sure that the woman owns the money before. The minhag is that people, you know, when they come up to the rabbi, they say, here's money, you know, money for me and money for my wife. And then the guy goes home and says, sweetheart, I gave the rabbi Matanos Levyonim on your behalf. That's what I think it typically is a minhag, like this opinion of
Rosh Hashanah. You mentioned
Mishloach Monos
right after that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. That's correct.
That's also the
thing. Okay. Now, what happens if a person is poor? A person is poor, a recipient who needs Matanos Levyonim. Do they themselves also have to give Matanos Levyonim? Right? This is what I asked earlier. So, for example, we know in Chanukah, even a person who doesn't have any money has to sell his clothing to get ner. He has to do anything he needs to be able to light Chanukah candles because it's Pirsum Anisa. Well, guess what? Purim also has a Pirsum Anisa component. The Megillah is Pirsum Anisa, for example. Maybe a poor person also has to stretch themselves to be able to give Matanos Levyonim as well. Let's see. Venirali, says among Avram, Demisha Ochel al Shulchan Chaveiro, V'lo Heichin lo Klum. Somebody who doesn't have his own kitchen, doesn't have his own food, he always relies on other people to eat. Pater Milishlach Manos, he doesn't have to give Mishlach Manos. This is about Mishlach Manos. I think it should equally apply to Matanos Levyonim, I assume. And he says, I have a proof to this. David Isig was going to like this proof. You ready? He has a proof that a poor person doesn't have to give Mishlach Manos from Rashi. Why? Because there's an unusual Gemara that says that two Amoraim were very poor. So how do they give Mishlach Manos? They switched off with each other. B'chalfei Suda Sahu. What does that mean? So there's an unusual Rashi, a wild Rashi. Much ink has been spilled in this Rashi. Rashi says they would switch off. You know what that means? I would have thought it means you and I go to the bagel store. We, the two poor people, me and you, the two poor people, we go to the bagel store. I buy breakfast and you buy breakfast. I give you my breakfast, you give me your breakfast. So how much did I end up losing? Nothing, because I had to buy breakfast anyway. That's what I would have thought the Gemara means. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, you know what it means that the two poor people would switch off meals? I would invite you to my house this Purim to eat, and next Purim you would invite me to your house to eat. That's what it means, that they would switch off the meals, and that's how they would fulfill Mishlach Manos. I invite you to my house this year, so I gave you Mishlach Manos. I gave you lunch, dinner. And you invite me to your house next year, so you gave me lunch. Exactly. That's the question that the Beis Yosef asks on Rashi. How does that solve the question? Each year, only one of them is hosting and therefore giving the Mishlach Manos. The other one, the recipient, isn't fulfilling the mitzvah. Oh. Says the Magen Avraham, that's exactly the point. You see that a poor person doesn't have to give mishloach manas, or matzos and avyonim, I assume. That's why it's okay if one of them doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. Why is it okay if one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah? Because he's poor, so poor people don't have to fulfill the mitzvah. Oh, so that, the Machzis HaShekel suggests, because they want to do whatever they can. Right, then you're asking a good question.
You mentioned that it was
pure Rav David, it's a good raya, it's a gishmak raya.
Yeah?
Okay, I hear that.
Do you have a source that Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim are in fact pursuing Nisa?
No. I'm not saying it's Pirsumanisa. Megillah is Pirsumanisa. I'm not saying that Matan Savyana and Mishloach Manos are Pirsumanisa. But I'm just raising the question that maybe there are some mitzvahs that even poor people do have to do. And here we're seeing, no, you don't have to. No, I'm not.
I'm just challenging the metaphor to Hanukkah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that Purim has a Pirsumanisa component, but you're right. I don't have any proof that Mishloach Manos and Matan Savyana do. Megillah does. But not. Yes. Okay. That's the end of that section. So we ended up saying that women. We had discussed women. We discussed teenagers. And we discussed poor people. The halacha lemaisa, women, if they want to be machmir like Rabbi Yashiv, you should specifically give it to a gabbai to take for you and your wife, and the guy will acquire the money for on behalf of your wife, and he's holding your wife's money, and when he gives it to the poor person, he actually gave your wife's money. That's the chumrah. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, nah, you don't have to do it. Just give money on behalf of your wife and let her know about it that you gave. Poor people do not have to give. And we said that teenagers, since they're reliant on you, you do not have to. Darach HaShulchan says you do have to give. Teenagers do have to give from their own money for Matanos Levyonim. That's the end of that section. Next section. When are you supposed to give Matanos Levyonim? Meaning, is there a different time of day? Should you give Matanos Levyonim before you give Mishloach Manos, or should you give Mishloach Manos before Matanos Levyonim, or does it not matter? On Purim day. Okay, you go to shul in the morning, you hear the Megillah, it's now 10 o'clock in the morning. So, do you have to give Mishloach Manos first, or Matanos Levyonim first, or does it not matter? So, if you look at the Pasuk in Megillah Esther, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk is source number 11 that we saw. It sounds like first Mishloach Manos and then Matanos Levyonim. That's what the order of the Pasuk is. So I would assume that that's what comes first. And that's indeed what the Chavetz Yair paskins, that's whatever comes first is given first. Where do we have precedent for that? Those of you who are doing Daf Yomi two, 3 weeks ago had something similar to that when it comes to brachos on foods, on the Shiva Saminim. If you have a choice between eating a grape or a fig, they're both Bari Priya Eitz. What do you do first? Whatever is in the earlier part of the Pasuk, Eretz Rabbi Geffen, then Te'ena. So whatever is earlier in the Pasuk goes first. So just like the Gemara says in terms of the order of the brachos, whatever is early in the Pasuk goes first, so too. Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim. Mishloach Manos is first, Matanos Levyonim is second.
It says Mishta first. Maybe you should have your steak for breakfast.
Yeah, you're making a good point. However, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll notice that in the Shulchan Aruch, first there's a simon about giving Matanos Levyonim, and only after that is the simon about Mishloach Manos. So he doesn't follow that order. The Shulchan Aruch is very often in chronological order. For example, in Shabbos, there are 50 simanim that talk about Shabbos. It starts with Friday, not traveling on a boat 3 days before Shabbos. Then Erev Shabbos in the morning. Then Friday afternoon. Then Friday evening. Then Friday night. Then Kabbalah Shabbos, then Kiddush, then Suda Shabbos, then it goes completely in the order of the chronology of the holiday, of the Shabbos. So for him also, you'd think he'd follow that pattern, and indeed he puts Matanos Levyonim first, not like the Pasuk does. So maybe that could be because of the following, because of the possibility that there was a minhag to give Matanos Levyonim before Purim. Why? Because what's the whole point of Matanos Levyonim? So that he should have money to buy food for Purim. That's part of it, at least. He's allowed to use it for anything else if he wants. He could buy shoes if he wants. Hold it till Pesach if he wants. But there is reason to assume that you might want to give the money before Purim because he should be able to buy food before Purim. That's why you might be able to give it on Tainus Esther or the night of Purim. You might be able to give so that he could buy food for Purim. I don't know if we're really passing that way, but since there's that possibility, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch put it Matanos Evyonim first. But halacha lemaisa, we generally assume it doesn't make a difference what you do first. Whether you do Matanos Evyonim first, Mishloach Manos first, Minigiz, either one, doesn't really matter. Everyone.
Now, organizations, not really poor people collecting at the door. It's more of an organization.
So the way it works with the organizations, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next source, is when I give the organizations take the money from me 2 weeks ahead of time. And then on Purim Day, they send people to a shaliach, to the family, and give money to the families on Purim Day. So my money is delivered to the poor person on Purim Day. When I give it to the Gabbai, he's just holding it as my shaliach. So when he gives it to the poor person on Purim Day, who's giving it to the poor person? My shaliach, which halachically is like me. So it's as though I'm giving the money to the poor person on Purim Day. And that's the point that the Aruch HaShulchan makes in the next, in source number 14. How do you give Matanos Evyonos? It says Aruch HaShulchan in Tafreich Sadi Dalet, Pashut de'ein tzarech litin ba'atzma, you don't have to give it yourself. Yach litin gam al yidei shliach. And the second point, you could also give it to the shliach well in advance of Purim. Yach lehamid shliach kodim Purim, she'yitim b'shvila b'Purim, he'll give it on Purim. I'll give it to him 3 weeks before Purim, that's totally fine.
Is it only Matanos Evyonim or Mishloach Manos also, or both?
Both. But here he's talking about Matanos Evyon. But halacha ma'aseh applies to both. Important to be aware. Ein nosim Matanos Evyon mimaos ma'aseh. You can't use ma'aseh money. O mimaos tzedakah sheyicheid kvar. If you already designated money for tzedakah, you can't use that money for your Matanos Evyon. Matanos Evyon has to be different monies that you weren't going to give to tzedakah anyway. Fine. Let's look at source number 15, please. This goes back to our discussion. Okay, we're going to skip that. That talks about poor people not having to give tzedakah. It didn't come out well in the print. I apologize. I made it too small. What about a check? Let's think about the issues with a check. First of all, if you give a check to a poor person on Purim, is a check the same thing as giving him money? Let me rephrase my question. What time do the banks close? 4 p.m., right?
Thursdays they're open later.
Okay, let's say Purim doesn't fall out on a Thursday. So let's say the banks close at 4. What time is Shkia on Purim? Let's say 6. Could I give a check to a poor person at 4:15? He can't cash it today even if he wants to.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he has it in his power.
No, he doesn't. There's nothing he could do. He could rock the world. Banks will not cash his check till tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. At best.
But it's considered like he has it already.
What does he have? He has an IOU.
It's not an IOU.
Daniel, what is a check? It's an IOU? I don't know what another check is.
You can use it as collateral.
Oh. You're saying he could go to somewhere that would take, like a check cashing place, or somewhere else who would give him something for it, even if it's not in a bank. That's exactly what Shmuel Kamenetsky suggests. He says that even though you can't actually process it, and even if it's going to be a check dachui, a post-dated check, right? It's for 2 weeks after Pesach, for 2 weeks after Purim. It's still going to work because of exactly what you said. You could still use it to get something. Somebody will be willing to take it, even if the bank won't cash it right away. It could be used for collateral. It could be used for, you know, pawn. I don't know if it works in a pawn shop, but you could still find somebody to check it, but they'll take off a little percentage, but they'll still give you money for it. And therefore, even if the bank is closed, you could still, and it's post-dated, he could get money. That's what you're saying. He could still get money today for the check.
You can cash, you can give an object to the person also. It's worth the money.
That's a question. Could you give objects? You probably could.
But
a check is not an object. So it has the worth of both worlds. It's not money, it's not even an object.
No, but it has the worth of.
Okay, so yeah, indeed, you can.
Yeah, it's basically
you can. Yeah. But it's a potential worth that gives it a worth right now. Meaning, it has to be that there has to be a value now because of its potential. Mm-hmm. Good. And this is what he quotes. He quotes from all the posts, and it says Moshe Feinstein also says it's fine. You could be, so no problem. You could definitely fulfill the mitzvah Matanos Avyonim with a check. No questions asked. Great. Now, what about giving it before Purim? That we mentioned in passing quickly, there's a Bala Ma'ar who says that you shouldn't give Matanos Avyonim before Purim because the poor person might use up the money
before Purim.
People who have low, you know, who have, don't have a good cash flow, who need cash. If you give them money, they usually need it to for last week's rent or to pay last week's bills or last month's electricity. So the Bala Ma'ar, look at source number 17. The Magen Avraham says, Kasev Bama'ar, the Bala Ma'ar writes, Dilo yitein lahem kodem Purim. Don't give the Matanos Avyon before Purim, Dilma achle lehu, because maybe they'll consume it, they'll use up the money before Purim. Could you ask a very obvious question on this? Why can't you give Matanos Avyonim before Purim? He says because they might use up the money by the time Purim comes. He asked me a better question. You can't give money before Purim because... Yeah, the mitzvah is to give money on Purim. You can't give Mishloach Manos not a week before Purim because it's not Purim. So, of course you can't give Matanos Avyonim before Purim because it's not Purim. Why is he saying that? You can't give money before Purim because you might use up the money and it won't be left. It sounds like if the money would be left, you'd be fine. But you didn't do the mitzvah. What do you mean? The mitzvah is to give it on Purim.
You could do it all tonight. I'm giving you the what's name now. And the mitzvah should be chal on Purim.
Now, I like your logic. That would work when there would be a chalos, like a kinyan would be happen on Purim, or some kinyan would happen.
It's a regular time.
You're saying that the kinyan, you're only acquiring, I'm handing it to you now, but you're not acquiring it until Purim?
This is Gemara's
all over. No, but you can't say the mitzvah will click in. You can't make it tonight that the mitzvah should fulfill. The mitzvah is to do an action. You can't do the action now and say that the mitzvah will just happen if you did the action now, but the mitzvah is to do the action. So this is a question. The Prima Gadim asks this question.
It has to be given on Purim, though.
In the pasuk in Tanakh.
It does. It says actually on Purim it has to be given, or it has to.
The same thing. Mishloach Manos and the Seuda and the Kriyas Megillah. You could also do that a week early.
It doesn't say specifically that.
That's what it says. Yeah, sure. That's what the pasuk says. Lasosa some these days of Purim should be meaning the first day and the second day of Purim. You may mishdev v'simcha mishloach manos mataros avyonim. It's my first in the pasuk. Yes. So Prima Gadim asks this question. Prima Gadim says, why are you saying that you can't give it a week early because he might use it up? No, you can't give it a week early because it's not Purim. So the Prima Gadim suggests that it seems that indeed, if you would give it early and the money is still around, you probably would be Yotzei. You probably would be Yotzei. That's what it seems to be. Of course, What we do typically is we give it to organizations, and the organizations give it out on Purim. Of course, that's fine. But it seems that halacha lemaisa, if a person would give it, if you have the opportunity to give a poor person, you know, something that a lot of people collect, a lot of people from Eretz Yisrael are already in, you know, a few days before Purim. So if you would give them a sizable sum that would still be extant, would not be consumed by Purim, you probably would be yotzei. Even if it was not done on Purim. That's what the Prima Gadim seems to be mashma. Okay.
But if he spent the money before...
Then the Chol Hadeis, you will not be outside, correct. Shava Kesef should work equally. I think you could give an outfit, you could give clothing, you could give food, even.
And something like, I'm going to ask you to get something back. Like, let's say, I'll give you a car for a week.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're not giving him anything. I'll give you a free rental of a car.
You got enough for that week.
Yeah, but you're not giving him something. I don't know. That might not. I don't know. I haven't seen that in the postcard. It's a gift for you, a use of something. You're not giving him something of ownership, but something that he could use. Don't know. I haven't seen the postcard speak about that. It seems to me. It just feels. My gut sounds like no. It has to be an asina. Matano savion. Matana means an item that's being transferred to them. What? There's a benefit, but that's not an asina. An asina is like giving something over. A transfer of ownership. That's what I would think.
That could be anything. Because let's say it's something the person doesn't need. It's just like a random thing. It's not going to have any use.
You're saying you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert and you give a guy an umbrella.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's that probably won't fulfill the mitzvah unless he could sell it and get $5 for it. So then it's not matanos. No, it has to be something that he could get value for, however it will be.
What if a person's going, how do you know he's an Evyon, by the way? What happens if he has money, but he wants to cut more money, so he comes around collecting?
So don't give him.
No, but if you don't know, many times people come.
So you have to give. So you should err on the side of caution. You're right. That's why I try to give more than just the two people, because I want to make sure that it's going to get to, so I try to give more than two people, to make sure that it's going to an Evyon.
Should there be some system to... There should be a quality to check on the Aniyim to make sure they are as opposed to what they...
Okay, I want to finish off with an interesting... We'll call it a kula. There's Yerushalmi children take advantage of this line in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara Paskins. Ein medatikin, source number 21. Ein medatikin b'maos purim. Elakomi shaposhit yada lital notes. No, anyone who sticks out their hands, we give them. Anyone who sticks out their hands, we give them. So in Eretz Yisrael, when I was in the mirror, I remember the Yerushalmi kids. You had like these 7-year-old kids, Yerushalmi kids, would walk over to you and look over to all the Americans on Purim, stick out their hands and say Mo's Purim, and like you're not supposed to say no. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. So you give them something. It doesn't have to be a lot, but. That's what people just give. Anyone who asks, you give them. So where is this from and what are the parameters of it? So this is based on so the Ritva suggests, there's a question what it's based on and what the parameters are, but at least the Ritva writes in source number 22. Quotes Tosefta. Tosefta writes, "Migbas magbis ha'ir la'osa ha'ir." The collection for the city has to stay for the poor of the city. Ve'emidaktiken v'davar. And we're not careful about it. What do those three words mean? We're not careful about it. What does it mean we're not careful about these monies on Purim? Yushami says what that means is that anyone who asks for money, we don't investigate to see does he deserve it or does he not deserve it. Shekol ha-poshet yad, second line of source number 22. There's the Ritva and Megillah Zayin Amaral. Shekol ha-poshet yad litol. Anyone who extends their hand to ask for money, you know, we give him. Lomer, meaning to say, we don't investigate, are you really poor? Do you really deserve the money? During the year, I investigate. I'm a smart philanthropist. I don't just give away my own money arbitrarily. I check, I investigate, I check the guide star. The guide star? Guide star, is that what it's called? The stars, 1, 2, 3, 4. Guide star, navigator, I see who's a good, a worthy cause or not. Not on Purim. Why is that? Why is that on Purim? Why am I acting differently on Purim with my stucca money on Purim than the rest of the year? Look what I underlined. She'en esina zumidin stucca, gredesa. The giving of money on Purim, I don't think he's talking about Matanos of Yonim specifically. He's talking about the stam giving out money on Purim. It's not just for stucca, it's elamidin simcha. It's part of the simcha of Purim. So in other words, when a kid walks over to me and says, can I have money? Uh-oh, better be careful. It's not a matter of, do you deserve it or not? That would be Hilchot Tzedakah. But today's not working just with Hilchot Tzedakah. It's working with Nidin Simcha. And then I have to give him to make him happy.
Purim Geld.
Purim Geld, yeah. But you know what comes out from that? What comes out from that is that this only applies to somebody who you can make happy. But if somebody says, I'm collecting for an organization, not a stuck organization where there are people who you can make happy. I'm collecting for the Eruv. I'm collecting for the Mikvah. I'm collecting for Kiv Rechokim. I'm collecting for Yeshiva. Do you have to give to everybody? Seems to me not. Because what's the whole reason why you have to give according to what we just read? Not Midin Staka, but Midin Simcha. Because you're going to make the guy happy. But if it's an organization, you're not going to make the Eruv happy. Those Eruv wires aren't going to be like bopping up and down because they got an extra, $20 today. The waters in the Mikvah aren't going to be, jumping up and down because it got next to Adaz. It's not, there's no simcha to the mikveh, to the Erev, and to the yeshiva, and to the, it's only to a person, I think. So therefore, according to that's what I wrote in English, the din of Ma'os Purim, of people who ask, it doesn't mean that you have to give everybody who asks. Anybody who asks for themselves, you could give them a little bit as part of the simcha without identifying if they really deserve it or not.
Well, everyone gets a note that you can carry on Shabbos.
I'm sorry?
Everyone gets a note that you can carry on Shabbos.
No, that's not the hana we're talking about. We're talking about hana that somebody's happy that they got money today. That's a different...
It's even goyim.
Yeah. That's and crazy. The Shulchan Aruch says, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Makom shenagel liten af le'enu yehudim nosnim. It happens to be that in our shul, on Purim Megillah night, there are some collectors who know this. Not true. I think they may not even be Jewish collectors.
Thank goodness.
And I'm wary of them. And people give huge amounts. Every you have 300-400 people, and everyone wants to give something. And you know, people are giving singles or fives. So they rack up a huge amount. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if the minhag isn't to give, right? The Shulchan Aruch only said, "What's makom?" If the makom, the minhag is that goyim, you give to goyim, then give to the goyim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but if it's not the minhag of the makom, then you don't have to give to the goyim, because that's taken away from the Jewish money. That's not, you know, why are you giving to the our cousins if you didn't give it to your brothers yet? So I don't think the minhag in our place, I don't think, is to specifically give to goyim also on Purim, and therefore I think in our town, you probably don't have to give to goyim who ask for it.
And Ashirim, what's going with the monk? Really, Ashirim? It's called Matanos Avionim?
Well, no, this is not Matanos Avionim, this is called Maos Purim. This is what we just said, the past 5 minutes is Maos Purim. It's similar, the similar idea that just like Mishloach Manos is given to Ashirim, even though they don't need it. So too, Maos Purim we give even to people who don't need it, because it's just part of the Purim Simcha.
Very strange.
That is the... let's finish off with one important thought, which you might have been familiar with, but it's important to keep in mind. Says the Rambam, on the bottom where I write number 27, you want to be divine? Mutav la'adam laharbas ma'atanas avyonim. Of course, it's more important to give an excessive amount of matanos avyonim, laharbas b'sudas v'shloach manos re'ev. If you're willing to spend, you know, $50 on a roast and hundreds of dollars for all your mishloach manos, guess what? You should give more than that to matanos avyonim. Why? Look what he says. He doesn't say because it's stuck is more important than everything else. He says that for you, it's going to be the greatest simcha for you. She'ein sham simcha gadol mefo'ara, the greatest simcha that a human can experience is to make bring joy to another human being. L'sameach lev aniyim, v'yesomim, v'almanos, v'gerim, misameach lev ha'umlalim ha'elu, somebody who makes happy the hearts of the poor, these unfortunate people, doma l'shchina, brings a pasuk. If we help the people who are vulnerable, the people who are needy, that makes us divine, that makes us godly. So if we want to be happy, I could feel divine by helping other people, by helping those who need it. That's the real way to have simcha for myself. So again, the ikar yisod that when we give tzedakah, it's not just because I have to, it's not just because he needs it, it's because I want to be happy. That's why I'm going to give tzedakah. We should be zocha to give a lot of tzedakah. We should be zocha to be very happy.
How much do you have to give?
How much do you have to give? That's another shir. But al regal achas, halach lemaisa, I would say enough for a meal. Well, you went to a restaurant for them in the past few weeks?
Tati's meal or a dome meal?
It doesn't say dome anywhere.
Okay.
How much is Tati's?
Tati's
is $10. It's $10 a person to two onion. Maybe even a...
But if it's
and properly, maybe even a little more.
But if it's an